Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 2. So let me say, first of all, graduates, I know you're about to be in 6 days. Parents, families, and let me just say, church family, congratulations. Man, it is truly been the work of all of us that we have are here today celebrating this. And sometimes it's been a rough road. Y'all know that. Some of you, you're going, I've already been there, Paul. I've done this. I was just remembering, it wasn't too long ago. It seemed like that this day was so far in the future for me, because I remember Kyle and Kristen and Kelly and Becca, and I remember Courtney and Casey Nance. Those are the elders, their kids. I was the youth minister when their kids were graduating, and I thought, man, it'll be forever before I'm there. And now it's my kids. And man, it is a struggle sometimes. Man, sometimes it was the grades. It was trying to get your kids to study and to buckle down and get the grades that they needed so they could pass the STAR test and get to the next grade level. Sometimes, I'm going to just tell you, it's the drama. Right? It's the drama. Man, students, when they go into these schools, they are met with other students who have different backgrounds. They have different goals. They have different worldviews. And those things create drama. Not only that, but then they come back into their home and you have siblings who also, even though they have the same background, they have different worldviews, and it creates drama there. Sometimes it's just tiring. It wasn't just school. They didn't just go to school in the morning and come home afterward. It was choir and band and football and baseball. It was this club and that club. Not to mention there was Wednesday night youth. There was Sunday morning church. There were the trips, the D-nows, the camps, all of those things. It is a busy time when you're a teenager. It just seems like it doesn't end. I can tell you that I think we have been graduating Kaylee for 2 months now. It is banquet after banquet, award ceremony after award ceremony. I'm ready for you to graduate in some ways, okay? Sometimes it just seemed like today, in your mind, it seemed like it was never going to get here. You finished your elementary school, and you went on to middle school, and you were that sixth grader in this big school, you thought. And then you finally finished that and you got to high school, and you're now a much smaller fish in this big school. I got news for you. Those are little schools. You're about to be in a much larger school. Different buildings. You're going to be living on campus or in an apartment. But I got news for you. In 6 days, you're walking across the stage, and you're going to be high school graduates. You made it. I know you're tired. I'm tired. But you made it. So this morning, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 2. And the caption above Proverbs chapter 2 in my Bible says this: the value of wisdom. The value of wisdom. If you're not there yet, when your kids get to high school, when they get into 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, I remember my son coming to me probably around 10th grade, maybe 11th grade, and he was saying, "Dad, I need some help on this math." And I was going, "No, you don't, at least not for me." I've forgotten all that stuff. I don't use it anymore. "Well, Dad, you took calculus, right, 20 years ago. I do not remember calculus anymore." So I could not help him in that. But one of the things that I wanted to do as his dad is I wanted to pass on wisdom that I had learned from my parents, and more importantly, that I had learned from the Lord. And so my kids will tell you over and over, if you ask them, "What was dinner time like with a pastor?" They'll tell you sermon after sermon after sermon. If they brought up a topic, I was going, "Hey, you know what? Let's talk about that." And immediately they're like, "Dad, can we just eat and not do this right now?" "No, let's talk about it." Because I wanted to impart wisdom to them. So we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 2, and if you're not familiar with what a proverb is, it's a simple, concrete saying that states a general truth or a piece of advice. And most of you are familiar with proverbs, if you will. If you're not familiar with these proverbs, you're familiar with other proverbs, such as a chain is only strong as its weakest link. Most of you have heard that before. That's a proverb. It's just a general truth. If you and those of you you've been in high school and you know what it's like to do those group projects, and tell me what that's like when there's always that weak link there that you're going, come on, we got to go, and your grade suffers because there's a weak link. You're only as strong as your weakest link. Another proverb: a fool and his money are soon parted. A fool and his money are soon parted. And I love the cartoon. Surprised they even got together in the first place. But there's another proverb. And there's another proverb that I think you're going to learn soon if you have not, and that is that absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's a tough proverb to learn. But the truth is that the proverbs in Scripture, not only are they true, not only have they proven to be true, not just through what we can see in the world, but they're true because they are from the Lord. Amen? So we can rely on these. We can know that if we will listen to these proverbs, they are true for all people, in all places, for all times. This is absolute truth. So we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 2. I'm going to pray over the reading of the word, then we're going to start pulling it apart. So let's pray, church. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this moment in time that we can look at it, that we can glean from it, that we can learn from it, that we can grow in wisdom. Lord, I pray that you will bless the reading of the word, the preaching of the word, the listening of your word, and Lord, most importantly, I pray that you will put on our hearts the conviction to live out your word. Lord, I love you, and it's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. Would you please stand as we honor God's word this morning? Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Please underline that. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Would you please be seated? Now I realize as we look at this, the very first two words are, my son. And we have two girls graduating. Well, let me just say that the emphasis is on youth. It's on not necessarily gender, but it's on someone who is young. But don't despair, ladies, because just to make you feel better, wisdom is personified as a woman in Proverbs. So I realize that now you can drive, You have, I actually got to, please forgive me that some of this is very personal because this is my daughter graduating. But I actually got to go with Kaylee where she got to vote for the first time. And yes, you are getting to do some very grown-up things, but you are young. You'll hear people say at graduations over and over, you have your whole life ahead of you. I've kind of joked with you before that at age 50, I don't have some of the options that they have. That time has passed for me. And for some of you, that time has passed. I can't be a fighter pilot. If I had that dream, I'm 50. They're not going to allow me to do that. I can't be a police officer. They're going to go, you're 50. You're not going to be a police officer. But you have the opportunity to choose a path that you're going to go on. And I want to bring your attention to this title. It is The Tale of Three Paths. The Tale of Three Paths. And I found this picture online. And I thought, as I looked at it, and I thought about the title of this sermon, I want you to consider, as you look at that picture, several things. First of all, they look pretty much the same starting out. The ease in which to enter each of them is the same. You just either choose left, choose the middle, or choose the right. I also want you to notice that you cannot see the end of the path. It just fades. You can't see where that path leads to. You can't see the end of it. I'll tell you that I was very arrogant when I was 18, and I would venture to say that many of us would look back and go, man, we thought we knew a lot. But life has a way of teaching you things. When I was 18, I had my life planned. I was going to be an architect. I was going to work for a large firm. I was going to move to a big city. And I thought that other teenagers that didn't have their life planned out as well as I did, well, they weren't motivated or they weren't as mature as me. Well, other than living in a big city, nothing turned out the way that I thought. You can't see the end of those paths. But let me clue you in on something else as well. Up to this point, and I know the Halls and I know my family, we have in some ways chosen your path for you through this time. You've heard me say this over and over, adults, we must own our children's faith while they were with us. Amen? Amen? Amen. You must own it for them. It is not a matter of you getting up every morning going, well, how do you want to live today? It's not a matter of you getting up on Sunday going, do you feel like church? If you'd like to, we can go. If you don't, that's okay. We own it for them. I liken it to when you take your young child bowling. You'll know how that is. When they're very young, you immediately go to the counter and say, please put up the bumpers. Because you know what's going to happen. They're going into the gutter. And by the way, just to clue you in, young parents, they have more fun with the bumpers up. Think about that. But we put the bumpers up. As they mature and they get to be a little bit better to where they can control the ball, you can go, we can put the bumpers down. But by the way, we're still there with them. We're bowling with them. Eventually, because of trust, we'll say, you can go bowling. And we let them go. And that's where we are today. Y'all are about to go bowling. We're going to let you go. And we're going to trust that we put the bumpers up for long enough and we were there with you long enough that you keep the ball out of the gutter. I just want you to know that you're going to experience freedom in a way that you've never experienced it before. You're going to be tempted in ways that you have never been tempted before. You're going to be in a brand new environment at UNT and DBU, and guess what? You're going to want to fit in. And it's going to be tempting to make compromises to fit in. I know you two girls well enough to know this, that you hope to fall in love and marry one day. Matter of fact, I know y'all's dating lives. I'm not going to preach about that. And so you want to fall in love and marry and have a family one day. And surely that guy who catches your eye, surely he thinks the same way as you. Be careful. It'll be fun. Mom and dad aren't around. Be careful. Freedom like never before. You get to decide. You can eat what you want, drink what you want. I know my girls there are like, I know, Dad, we're not allowed to have soda in the morning. I'm not going to be around. You still shouldn't have soda in the morning. You can go where you want. That's kind of a illusion. You know, these two girls, I know, Kaylee was like, it'll be so awesome. I can just get in my car and go see Hannah. I said, oh, hold on. Who told you you could just zip over there? I said, I want to know where you are. Well, Dad, I was like, I want to know where you are. And I'm sure the halls feel the same way. But in some ways, you can go where you want. You can hang out with who you want to hang out. We're not going to be able to screen them anymore. You're not going to bring them to the house and we go, I know you may think this is a person you want to hang out with, but you really don't. And you may be thinking, but Pastor, I've already dealt with these issues. Trust me, the heat will be turned up now. But you can avoid hurt and pain if you will abide by Scripture. So what is the advice that the writer of Proverbs, and more importantly, what is the advice that God is giving you? And the first thing I want you to notice in this passage is a simple two-letter word. If you will do these things. So path one is the way of the Lord. Will you choose this path? If you will take in or receive wisdom, God's word cannot be clearer on this topic. The very inkling of wisdom begins with the fear of God. If you will do this, you'll notice it says, if you receive my words, if you call out for insight, if you seek it like silver, do these things. If you will do these things, this will be good. I had in my notes, I've actually preached on this passage about 9 years ago. And in my notes, I had that Kaylee and Kelsey were asking me questions about this. And they asked the question 9 years ago. They said, Dad, does fear of God mean that we are to be afraid of Him? And the answer is yes. Because God at times does terrible things. Notice I didn't say evil. God is a powerful God, and we should be afraid. He created a flood that wiped out everybody except for those on the ark. He created 10 plagues that wiped out a nation, that wiped out the firstborn of a nation. His people suffered humiliation and defeat in war because of His judgment on them. His Son. It pleased Him to bruise His Son for the sake of our sin. And if you think, well, that's Old Testament. I just want you to know in the New Testament, there was a husband and wife. All they did is lie, and He struck them down. Yes, be afraid of God. But know that He is also your Father and He loves you. Our God should be feared. And suffering does happen. And it troubles me when I hear people make light or fun of God's righteous judgment. You've seen people like, oh, I'm going to step over here and you may strike. Let me tell you something. That is not any, God's judgment, His punishment or discipline is nothing to be trifled with. Amen? Never. He tells you, if you call out for insight, if you seek it like silver. And then He says, look at the result in verse 5 through 12. He says, and verse 16, I apologize, that, I add that too. You will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. You will get the gift of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. God will be your shield. God will guard your path. That's the path. That, I'm going to just tell you right now, that's the only path that you get God guarding you. That's it. You're going to hear about the other two, but that's the only one. God will watch over your way. And then be sure you pay attention to these in verse 12 and verse 16. You will be delivered from evil men. Girls, you will be delivered from evil men. You will be delivered from evil men. And you will be delivered from forbidden women. You're of age now and you're beginning to see already. Both of you, I would venture to say, you are beginning to see already the destruction of your friends who are choosing different paths. They are ignoring the words of God. They are feeling the effects of drugs and alcohol. Y'all have experienced, through friendships, losses. Right around the corner from where I live, there are flowers still in a median because a high schooler decided, I can drink and drive and it's okay. And the whole high school felt the effects of that. You're already seeing those who have decided that they want one thing in a relationship, and it's killing them already because they are looking for love and they're only finding short-term physical satisfaction. They seem to be in a pit that they cannot escape because they have chosen paths that are not guarded by God. This is the only one. So that's path number one. If you seek God, if you seek wisdom, this is the path that you will be on. But your parents can't choose these paths for you. And there's two other paths that are spoken of here. The path, the way of evil, the path of evil men. The best way for you to understand this is simple. It's right there in verse 13, who forsake the paths of unrighteousness. In other words, they're not going to do that. Path number one, they're done with it. They forsake it. They're not going to have anything to do with it. They abandon it. They reject the paths of uprightness. They take a completely different path. It is a path of darkness. And they don't just reluctantly do evil. They rejoice in it. Let me tell you something. I know what it is to sin. I am a wretched sinner. But I also know this, what it is to be ashamed of my sin. My church family, I've said it over and over. I have done things in my life I never want you to know about. But this path that's talking about here, they rejoice in it. They brag about it. They openly flaunt what they have done in rebellion against God. Perverted speech. They rejoice in doing evil. They delight in the perversiveness of evil. They're devious in their ways. Let me tell you, I can tell you how to spot these guys. Here's how you spot them. They'll tell you. They'll brag about it. I know the children are in here, so I want to be careful. They'll tell you how many other girls. They'll tell you how they got away with something in class. They cheated on an exam and no one even found out. They'll brag about it. They'll tell you how many beers they had and how drunk they got. It's crazy. I was at this party. You're not going to believe what I had to drink. They'll brag about it. They'll tell you what they got away with that their parents didn't know. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to find out who these evil men are. They'll tell you. And so when you think that they are trusting you with information, they're actually just exposing who they really are. They are evil men on evil paths. Their paths are crooked. In other words, they're going this way 1 minute, and then they go, oh, no, I'm going to go this way. And then the next minute, they're going to go, oh, this. And see, in one moment, they may have been going, oh, I love going to church, and I love being, oh, but now I'm here, and I can do this. And by the way, when a path is crooked, there is no way you can see where that end is going to be. No way. So if you think, oh, he's going in the right direction right now, just know he'll turn directions and it's not going to be what you think. That's exactly the way Satan wants it. He doesn't want you to see the end. He doesn't want you to see the price that will be paid if you associate with this evil man. You see, up to this point, you may be going, but they're in school with me. They're making good grades, man. And they may be still experiencing the mercy of God. I'm not the one to tell you when God says, you know what, that's actually a child of mine and I'm going to discipline them, or they're not a child of mine and I'm going to punish them. But I'll tell you, Scripture says it feels the same. And you don't want to be there when that happens. Let me also make a note of this. You might be thinking, Pastor, you know it. But Paul, you know, Mr. Paul, you know me. Dad, you know me. I would never, never. And let me tell you something. It's not necessarily that you may choose this path. Be careful that you don't choose to connect with those who choose this path. Do you hear me? You choose your friends wisely. That's why we constantly see those who are innocent victims, if you will. There was one young man, and again, I don't know names. And by the way, it plays out over and over again. I'm not picking on any situation. There's one person driving the car, but there could be three others in the car with them, and they pay the price too because they chose to be in that situation. They chose to associate with those that are evil. I can think of something. Even my second roommate in college, he began to associate with just other kids in college who were lazy. And within two semesters, he flunked out because he just associated with people who just were not committed to studying. And guess what? Eventually, he just wasn't committed to studying. And he flunked out. Be careful that you don't choose this path, nor do you choose to hang out with those who have chosen this path. There's a third path, the way of the forbidden. The word adulterous here is actually the word used for foreign. In other words, what this is describing is a woman who is not a part of the covenant community. So you'll know that Israel, they were told, do not intermarry. Do not marry those who are outside of the covenant. They're foreigners. Don't do that. So let me put it in today's context. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have no business dating or marrying someone who does not know Christ. You have no business getting involved with anyone who has not chosen path number one. So girls, listen to me. Do not underestimate the power of evil men. And guys, do not underestimate the power of an adulterous woman. It tells us right there in Scripture that her words are smooth. Man, they say the right things. And they know nothing of commitment. They forsake their companions. I know this is talking about a foreign woman. In my notes, it's just a foreign person. Let me put it that way. I know that guy will say the right words, but know this. They forsake their companions, and you'll just be another victim. Another person in the line of their destruction. Verse 18 and 19 says, for her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. you'll notice over and over, he's talking about these different paths that you can take. I have friends who went on youth trips with me when I was a teenager. We did mission work together. We got to lead people to the Lord. We worked on houses for the poor. We studied God's word together. We had times when we were on cloud nine because of our walk with the Lord. It was awesome. But then it happened. They fell for someone who rejected the wisdom of God. They fell for someone who thought that's just foolishness. And now today, they believe that I'm the fool. So hear me, my dear friend and my daughter. Listen to me. I never want to hear from either one of y'all. He's such a good guy. And when we started dating, he started going to church. He's reading his Bible now. Your dating life is not your mission field. Parents, you know, all it takes is a love, if you will, and it can lead them astray. I know someone may even email me and say, oh, no, you don't understand. I know of this story of this woman who married this man and he was just living for the world and he came to know the Lord. I realize that God's grace can cover everything. I got it. But God's word is true. Don't. It says that the one who goes to her house, they don't come back. They don't regain the paths of life. But I've got news for you. Yes, God can redeem people. God can change people. But listen to me. If you fall into this sin, your life will never be the same. Men can never remove the images from their head that they've seen by going down this path. And women can never fully retake their heart. This is a path that will rob you of so much. One commentator wrote this: it is as hard to restore a lustful person to chastity as it is to restore a dead person to life. Hear me on this. God can bring a dead person to life, amen? And God can restore a lustful man or woman. But it will be the power of God. It will never be on your own power. Never. So there's three paths there. And you may have heard me snicker a little bit because it just seems so clear. Here's path one, walk with the Lord. He will guard your path. He will guard you. Path two is evil men. You don't want to go there. Path three is an adulterous woman. He gets to verse 20. So, knowing all of that, let's just go ahead and say that you're wise. And you will walk in the way of the good. I mean, it's like he's put it all out there. Here's path one. It's a good path. Here's path two and path three. They're bad. So surely, you'll choose path one. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. I mean, come on. It's a no-brainer. Amen? But man, it's a hard walk. It's a no-brainer, but it's a hard walk. So, you got to decide. In August, when we load up cars or whatever we do, rent a van, I don't know, and move you to your schools, there's going to be a moment where we hug you, we tell you that we love you, and we got to get back in our car and we got to drive back. And then you got to go to that two-letter word, if. If I choose path one, if I choose path two, if I choose path three. So you got to decide. You'll be able to fake us out for a while. We'll think that you're on path one, but you will never fool the Lord. And His word is true. So will you be a woman of godly character? Church, will you be men? Will you be women of godly character? Will you be a person who gets sucked into the world and have to learn the hard way to realize that God's word is true? I'll leave you with one more proverb this morning. Two people cannot walk in opposite directions thinking they will arrive at the same destination. Do not fall for the lie. I can mess around with this, and I'll come out all right. You can't choose a different direction thinking that you're going to end up in the same place. You will not. You will not. So you have to choose. Don't get me wrong. Again, the Lord can redeem you, but you will not end up where you thought you were going to end up. You will not end up there. You have to choose. Church, you must choose. You may be thinking right now, but I didn't choose the right path, Paul. I chose one of the other two. God can redeem you. Amen? And today is not too late. There are still choices that you're going to have to, if you chose some wrong choices, you're still going to have to live out some of the implications of those choices. Again, I go back to men, you know, and I'll just, if you have seen images that you shouldn't have seen and you made a wrong choice, you still probably going to have to deal with those images in your head. But that doesn't mean that God can't redeem you. Amen? And ladies, maybe you did fall for those evil men at some time. And guess what? Man, there's still a part of your heart that's been ripped out. And you're still feeling the effects of that. But God can redeem you. If you will pursue the Lord. And all of a sudden, you were walking these paths by yourself. But now, choose the Lord. Seek Him. And He will guard your path. He will guard you. So we come to a point of invitation. And it is not just for these two girls. It is for anyone here. What path will you walk? Will you walk with the Lord? Will you be among evil men? Will you be among adulterous or foreign women? What will you do? How will you respond? I'm going to be here to receive you. I'll pray with you. But you've got to decide which path are you going to be on. Let's pray.